blood showing to be thicker than water here. Was El Hijo de Dos Carlos the one, though? Was he the one that Conan thought he had?
And now,
wait,
Cross.
Who the hell is the...
What? There is Loki from the top with the double stomp.
Look at the jacket.
Loki is the new member of the LAX. Out of nowhere. With no expectation, no speculation that this would be the man.
What a coup.
Recruited by the Latin American Exchange, and Santana pins the world champion.
I'm back, and I'm better than ever. Got a knack for making things better. Face facts, 'cause your opinion don't matter. This maniac is gonna step on whomever.
Oh, sorry. No, fuck that, because this is the first time since we've been back for a long time, so I feel like I gotta make a bigger deal of the fact that we're finally back, so, you know.
Yeah.
Like, oh my god. Oh my god. Is that good enough? Is that enough excitement for the return of Let Me Talk to You? It is, I guess. Josh Perry, it's CEO Hayes, it's GFW Impact, it's GFW now. I haven't watched this show since Slammiversary. Hayes, how are you?
I'm doing great, and I'm glad that we're back with Let Me... Keep in mind, Josh, when we first started this network, Let Me Talk to You was actually our highest downloaded podcast for probably our first 3 months of existence. And
look,
we were doing WWE podcasts, and...
Look at how much laziness can get you.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see what segment of our audience is coming back and has been anticipating this. I feel like we got a lot of catching up to do, especially because we had the high ground, Josh, and we fucking gave it up.
No, no, no. I'm going to blame it on the rebrand. Nobody knew that it was TNA Impact anymore. They just saw it was GFW. They stopped listening to the podcast. Rebrand. It's all on Anthem and Jeff Jarrett's shoulders, the reason that we lost any viewers at all.
Well, there you go. Everything's Jeff Jarrett's fault, especially if you ask Ruby Hardy. So, there you go. So, yeah, I'm doing all right. I'm doing pretty well. Besides lack of sleep lately, other than that, it's all right. It's a good time of wrestling.
Let's get you losing sleep, Hayes.
I've been working 11 hours a day for like the last like 3 weeks straight, getting overtime at work. As you know, I started a new job. I moved 500 miles away from St. Louis, and my new job is like a whole new department that we're completely starting out from the ground up. So it's a lot of shit to get done. So yeah.
Wow, sounds like you're a big man on campus over there.
A little bit. Well, I have my specific portion cut out. I'm not a big wig all the way yet.
But you got your slice of the pie.
Yeah, that's basically what it is.
All right, nice. How's that pie tasting?
Right now, pretty good. Pretty good. It's a nice warm slice of apple pie. I just need that ice cream to go on top of it, and then it's going to be all copacetic.
Oh, what was that?
Copacetic, man.
What the fuck does that mean?
That right there, that's the difference between our two generations. That's how you know I'm just a little bit ahead of you.
Thing. As soon as you started going, now, you see, as soon as I hear the word now, you see, I know it's going to be a generational thing. That's the, like, you might as well be in your fucking rocker.
I just, you know what, honestly, I'm not even one of those generational people who make a big deal out of all that. I just love your reaction to me the few times that I do rant about it. So, yeah.
Please explain to me what you were meaning. I didn't. What does that mean?
Copacetic, it just means everything's cool. That's all.
Copacetic. Okay, wait. I just didn't hear you because it's a... Okay. I've heard that turn of phrase before. I don't exactly know what it means, but I've heard of it. I listen to hip-hop sometimes. So, yeah. I don't know.
You're actually pretty... For your generation, you're actually... I enjoy your taste of music. Like, I will say that at least you're not one of those people who's just running around listening to mumble rap. Like, me and Fame... We almost can't even talk music. Like, I almost refuse to talk music.
Hey, I can listen. All right. I don't want no slander about mumble rap on this. I can fuck with some mumble rap, okay?
I mean, everybody can. But you need to put it in its place. Yeah, about the sound. But I'm talking about lyrical content. Like, Fame will argue that like the Migos are like the most lyrical people around, and it's like, no, do they make dope songs? Yeah, but
let me get on my generational shit. It's not the Migos, okay? The Migos, it's like saying you're going to the Walmart.
Fair right. enough.
Well, I know what you mean. Hey, look, but also implying that Migos can't spit some pretty decent lines. I don't know. I think you're using the wrong example there. Maybe an example like designer. I don't know. I don't think I've ever heard anything about a designer.
Okay. I do. That's the panda guy. Okay. He sucks too.
Yeah, that's the panda guy. Yeah.
Yeah, he's terrible. God
oh, yeah. He's terrible. Just like the start of this show. We haven't talked in a long time, and it's kind of, well, no, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. We just haven't been on Let Me Talk to You in a Minute. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm a little rusty. Hayes has been around the block a time or two since the departure of the podcast for a quick rebrand, I guess. We were just retooling my gimmick, brother.
Yeah, you know, we got to get that heat in. That's all. We had to set them up. See, now they had a chance to miss us. So now, even if this podcast isn't that good, they've missed us. So we're going to get a little leeway there.
I wish there was a way for people to reload their feed, and then all of a sudden, like, some crazy music plays whenever they reload it, and our podcast shows up. It's a surprise return.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, people are going to look at their feeds tomorrow and be like, oh, shit, I didn't even know Let Me Talk to You was still a thing. Well, guess what, bitches? We're back.
I mean, it's, you know, we've done this a number of times. We're like Jericho at this point with the amount of times. But I'm okay with that. If you're comparing us to Jericho, we're the greatest of all time.
Absolutely. I'll take any comparison to Chris Jericho, I'm down for. See, there's a good way to be a part-timer, i.e. Chris Jericho, and there's a bad way to be a part-timer. I don't really have... Go ahead.
I said, i.e. us.
Yeah, yeah, us.
Yeah, bad part-time. Yeah. No, that's just me. Yeah, no, that was not us. It's not us, plural. Yeah, no, I just went without a mic for a little bit. Moved up to the foggy apple, as Fandango would say. Or, no, what did he say the foggy apple about? I don't know. I'm in the actual, the big apple, the one with the apples of in New York City now. And, yeah, so I broke my mic in the process of moving. So sorry, I probably already explained this before, but yeah, it's just my running excuse for my laziness. I'm going to keep it going for any time that I miss like anything. I'll use that excuse 3 months from now. I'll just be like, yeah, my mic was broke when I moved. And people will be like, that was back in May and this is December. I'll be like, recurring consequences. I don't know. Recurring problems with that.
Yeah. Your mic is one of those things that it's like, hey, how can I fuck with Josh today? Oh, yeah. I'm just not going to work today. I'm going to cut off in the middle of a podcast. Oh, I'm going to cut off in the middle of a sentence. That's your mic. It just likes fucking with you.
The mic, you know, it's like a son to its father. I'm the mic's father. I don't set a great example for the mic. I cut out all the time. I'm pretty lazy. I don't do all the things that I should. And the mic just learns from me. So I can't blame it. And my watch just went off. I got to turn that off. It just let me know that it's officially midnight. It's officially Friday because we're now recording this 2 hours after Impact ended. So, I guess we should probably get into it by now. People are probably tired of hearing us just babble on and on without talking about Impact.
Let's do it.
You're sitting down, eyes peeled, ears open, and whether you want to or not, let me talk to you.
We are doing it, and again, ladies and gentlemen, I haven't watched the show since Slammiversary, so you'll have to forgive me. I didn't understand a number of things that were happening on this show, but hey, you've been watching this show since Slammiversary. Has GFW Impact been anything worth watching compared to TNA Impact?
I mean, if you go to the most recent TNA Impact, yeah, it's a little bit better, but if we go to Impact this time last year, then no, it doesn't even compare. I mean, at this point now, I think I did take a while off after Slammiversary off from you because I watched that initial episode after Slammiversary. Slammiversary was a great pay-per-view, by the way, so I was expecting, okay, let's ride this momentum out. Guess what? They didn't ride the momentum out, and I couldn't bring myself to keep watching this show, unfortunately. 1 week, I'm sitting here on a Thursday after moving, getting settled in, Impact's on. I'm like, oh, this is... It was some things here that can bring me back to next week, and I've just gotten back on the wagon. But, yeah, last couple episodes, last three, I think have been really solid, including this one.
All right, great. You enjoyed the episode tonight, I take it.
I enjoyed parts of see, and that's the thing with Impact. It's starting to be like Raw, to the point where the things that I like, I really like, and the things that are bad are like god fucking awful. We'll talk about it over the course of this show, but yeah, LAX and El Patron, I'm really liking what they have going on a lot, and I'm liking the Super X Cup so far.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I agree with you on LAX, and we'll get to that in the main event of the evening. But I mean, we will actually start off the show with some LAX, and we go to the LAX clubhouse. They're talking about how they're going to introduce a new member, and a new era is going to begin. Conan is loving it. There's some precursors. Did you look at any spoilers? And if not, did you have any guesses as to who the newest member of LAX was going to be? I think the hint throughout the night was that it was going to be Hijo de los Caras, but it was ultimately not. I mean, I guess that I won't really mind spoiling that at least, but did you have an idea as to who it would be?
No, none. I don't look at spoilers for Impact specifically because I only like certain portions of the show, so if I already know what's going to happen, it may keep me from tuning in, to be quite honest. So no, I don't look at spoilers, and I was actually quite surprised, and I like the potential of who joined LAX tonight.
Promo of Desmond Xavier versus Drago putting over the Super X Cup. First off, Desmond Xavier, he has a chain necklace tattoo. Chain necklace tattoo, douche or no?
Douche.
Exactly. Chain necklace tattoo, more comfortable than wearing an actual necklace or more than less comfortable? You know what I mean? Like, which is more comfortable, wearing an actual necklace or just having a tattoo of a necklace? I just don't see the purpose of having a tattoo of a necklace, trying to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, I mean, wearing necklaces is comfortable. I mean, you forget they're there unless you're wearing some big, gaudy, ugly-ass chain that some people wear. But, you know, I don't have a necklace tattoo. I do have my wife's name tattooed on my chest, but it's real lower. I just put on a goddamn necklace. Why?
I guess he wanted to have, it looks like dog tags tattooed around his neck. It's the exact same tattoo that Abel Trujillo has, who's a fighter for the UFC, who is an absolute asshole. So I didn't get I've watched Desmond Xavier before, never noticed that tattoo, knocks a couple points down in my book. But yeah, I mean, we did get Desmond Xavier versus the AAA representative, Drago, who was obviously, very cool and stuff. A little disappointed with the match, I'll be completely honest with you. It went 15 minutes long, and I mean, there was plenty of good stuff to be had in the match, though. For a 15-minute long match, I think they could have done more X Division-y style things. There was some, it kind of came off to me as a normal match.
I don't know if I agree with you that it was a normal match. Yes and no. I mean, I like Desmond Xavier. I'm starting to really get behind him. I mean, he uses the fucking the Spinal Tap as his finish, like that right there. I love that move, and AJ doesn't do it anymore, so I'm down for seeing that. And the kid's young, so I see a lot of potential there. I like the fact that he went over here. And you know, when we were doing this podcast, we kept talking about the X Division, how they're not using it. They're putting more of a highlight on it. I just hope that they keep this going because they have some talent here, and that's part of the best part of this talent exchange that they have with both AAA and Pro Wrestling NOAH, is that they're using them in really creative ways to keep these divisions alive. We saw it in the tag division. We're seeing it here in the X division now. And it's smart for GFW to be doing what they're doing and using this talent the way they are. They just have to book the show better. But as far as, you know, what happened here, Desmond Xavier, I think, is the future of the X division. And they have a lot of people you can label as that right now. And that's a good place to be in.
I wasn't a big fan of his either of his promos, really. He had one right after the match and one later on. Were you?
No, he shouldn't talk at all.
Shouldn't talk at all? Then how the hell is he going to get himself over?
Give him a mouthpiece. Stick him with Pope. I don't know, but yeah.
So
no.
Pope is a great mouthpiece.
No, but he's better than Desmond Xavier.
So I don't know if two lefts make a right there, brother.
Rockstar Spud? I don't know. Find somebody. Fuck Enzo. He's about to get cut anyway within the next year. Bring him over. Let him be Desmond Xavier's mouthpiece.
Enzo is going to get cut within the next year. That's a hot take right there.
Dude, as soon as he gets done with this big cast thing, I pray WWE proves me wrong, but I just, the crowd is already as big as they were in the Enzo's entrance, which is the one thing he's kept basically since he left cast. Like, the crowd is starting, his promos are starting to get like Bray Wyatt, where, yeah, they're entertaining, yeah, they're passionate, but it's the same shit, and he's just going to lose, and we're starting to lose, and it's just, I don't know, I'm starting to lose all the love I have for Enzo, and it sucks.
Speaking of somebody who I'm starting to lose all the love I once had for, no, I'm just kidding, I actually still love him, it's EC3 backstage with Mackenzie Mitchell, who, by the way, is maybe my favorite backstage interview in the business right now. She's fantastic. EC3 just talking about Moose. He has a grand championship match with Moose tonight. He says he'll be a new champion because he's a Carter. The company needs him. As we'll see later on in the show, I think there's much ado about this whole EC3 claiming his Carter status in Impact. What does this mean? How did they play this gimmick up in the future? How do they actually use this Carter gimmick? Does it mean a return of Dixie? I highly doubt it, even in the form of a TV character. But I think it's just being used to do heel heat, but it'll be interesting to see how they progress with this whole Carter thing, just because it does leave a bad taste in people's mouth. But hey, it's heel heat.
Yeah, it is heel heat. It gives him something that is uniquely him to his character. I mean, there's no one else who's really tied into that Carter bloodline storyline-wise, so it makes sense to use it. And they can go a lot of ways with it. He can try to do a hostile takeover to get the company back under the Carter name. You never know. There's a lot of different ways they can go with it, and that's a good place to be in. And, you know, some interesting stuff happened with him over the course of the show that really puts him, gets him back on the path of being more highlighted. They kind of downgraded him for a little while, but I like seeing where they're going with him now.
After this, we get a video package. Matt Sydal talking about match with Bobby Lashley at Destination X. So that was cool. Then we get a backstage with the Patrons, quote unquote, the Patrons. Alberto El Patron, El Hijo de Dos Caras, and Dos Caras. They're backstage. They start to they get a little heated because Alberto El Patron doesn't know if he can trust El Hijo de Dos Caras. They start to, I guess, swear at each other in Spanish because there were bleeps when they were speaking Spanish. Karen Jarrett comes out of nowhere because apparently she knows Spanish, so she knows when things are getting tense. She's watched a number of Latino soap operas, and so she came in and she tried to rectify the situation. Then, of course, because we need more authority figures, Bruce Pritchard comes in. And, you know, calms down the situation, tells them to focus on their match. Apparently, Bruce Pritchard, expert psychologist, got right into the head of all the Patrons and just said, calm down, guys, focus on your match. And they were like, okay, Bruce, that makes sense. We're going to do that. Karen, when you said that, that didn't make sense. But Bruce, that makes sense. And so then Bruce tells Karen they need to talk. And this segment had a lot going on, and none of it I liked.
The Braun Stopper, though, Karen Jarrett is what she is.
The Braun Stopper. Oh, yeah. And, what do you want to say? I mean, do you think that Braun Strowman could take Karen Jarrett? I don't think he could.
I don't think he could either. You see that face? She has a very strong face now. I don't think he could take it down.
She has learned both the angle slam and the ability to knock over the people over the head with guitars. I think you hit those two moves in succession, and Braun Strowman's now for the 1-2-3, brother.
Somebody now needs to tell Roman the key to success there.
Just get a guitar, Roman. Pair up with your boy, Elias. Anyway, we get after this Mumbai Cat versus the fake X Division champion, Trevor Lee. This was under 2 minutes. It featured a switcheroo between Mumbai Cat 1 and quote-unquote Mumbai Cat 2. I haven't even watched the show, and I knew exactly what was happening whenever they did the old Twin Magic. Mumbai Cat 2, also known as Sanjay Dutt, came in. Ranch Rain got the splash for the win and revealed his mask to show that he is Sanjay Dutt. And then, of course, you know, this nonsensical storyline that I do not know what's going on, wherein Sanjay Dutt is banned from the building, where Trevor Lee, the fake X Division champion, is allowed to walk around with a belt. I mean, this is really stupid stuff. Sanjay just, he cuts a promo, it's all so nonsensical when I don't understand how can Sanjay Dutt be banned from the building when he's the champ, and some guy faking himself as the champ is not barred from the building. He's allowed to be in the building and allowed to carry around the championship, and the authority just walks around being like, okay, that's fine. Even if they do like Trevor Lee more, doesn't that undermine your championship? I didn't understand this, and we were talking about how much they promote the X Division, and then this is the kind of storytelling that they do at the top of the X Division. It's like how they fuck up the Cruiserweight Division on 205 Live with dumb storytelling. Just let them have matches, for Christ's sake.
Well, I mean, yeah, he at one point he was actually defending the title, and he wasn't even the champion. Yeah, Bruce Pritchard, for all intents and purposes, the guy just makes no fucking sense in what he allows on this show. But you know, I mean, I guess that's their version of drawing heel heat. Trevor Lee always looks dumbfounded. Like he wrestled the whole match with the title still on, and then just looked like he's a cartoon character. And that while that can work in certain ways, and then. Sanjay Dutt talking afterwards, like, this whole segment to me was just cringeworthy. I didn't like anything about it. The match itself was okay for the minute that it was going on, but everything else surrounding it was just terrible in my opinion. Sanjay Dutt, we talked about Desmond Xavier being awkward on the mic. Sanjay Dutt should cut his promos in sign language, because I don't want to hear him talking again.
Sign language, I dig that gimmick. Nobody knows what it's saying. Does sign language get a reaction from the crowd? The sign language, is that like a hot crowd? Is that a completely silent crowd? I don't know how you get from a silent promo. Do you get a lot of heat from that? I don't know. Guess we'll have to test that out.
Yeah, let's find out. First silent promo. There you go.
Who do you slap the sign language? So you want to slap that on Sanjay Dutt? You can't think of another wrestler on Impact that's even worse at promos that could use a sign language gimmick. Because I can think of a lot worse than Sanjay Dutt.
Oh yeah, I mean Moose could, he should just do a mime gimmick. Because I don't like it. Well, we've talked about that
before.
He
essentially does have a mime gimmick where he just pumps his fist over and over again.
There you go. So we got mimes and sign language promos right here at Global Force Wrestling Impact.
At Jarrett Force Wrestling, baby. So after that, we get a video package about Lashley training an American Top Team. A lot of people at the time, you know, obviously asked for the producers to give their thoughts on whether or not Lashley should stick to pro wrestling or MMA. His coaches and some of his shoot-fire teammates think that he should stay at MMA. King Mo, bastion of staying in both Impact and pro wrestling and MMA, of course. King Mo, you know, that lauded pro wrestler, saying that he should stay in both. So, obviously, I think that, you know, Lashley beats Matt Sydal and then loses to Patron. They're going to build up this whole, you know, should he stay at MMA? Should he stay in the squared circle kind of gimmick? I don't know. I think it's interesting, but everything is thrown off by the fact that you can't have Patron be your champ anymore because he's a piece of garbage.
But he was cleared. He was clear to that. I don't know what to say about
it. Oh, what's he? I don't know. I don't pay attention, but it's just like, it's not a good look for your champ to be, you know, on the top and being in this litigation. And you're trying to tell me that Patron has never had problems before? I'm still dumbfounded that they put the belt on him. Even if he is cleared of charges, this guy gets in fights all the time. This guy is a walking problem.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the guy was stabbed earlier this year, I believe, or maybe it was late last year. So
let's put the belt on him.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, he could survive a stabbing. He could survive anything, brother.
He got in a fight with a person who played Donatello in the 90s Ninja Turtle movies. Like, come on, man. Yeah, fuck that. Why Eli Drake should be the champion right now.
You are stating nothing but facts. But Eli Drake, he would have the next quote-unquote scheduled match on the show, but before we get to that match, we did have a segment. And I will tell you, as somebody that has not watched the show, this segment made no sense, and I was guffawing at how little I understood and how much I enjoyed the fact that I didn't understand it. We were backstage with Joseph Park and Grado. First off, last thing that I watched from this company was Slammiversary, where this man, Joseph Park, turned back into Abyss and had Father James Mitchell at his side. I tune back in, and he's walking backstage with Grado, talking about Grado's imminent deportation and the fact that he must marry Laurel Van Ness. Hayes, what in the goddamn world have I missed over the course of the past few weeks in Slammiversary? What is happening? Why is Grado teaming with Joseph Parks? Why is there a deportation gimmick? I didn't understand anything, but I absolutely laughed my ass off, and I think I laughed my ass off because I didn't understand it. Now that I do understand it, considering later in the show, this is really stupid, but not knowing what's going on, it was really entertaining.
I mean, yeah, I mean, just the idea of having Joseph Park, Grado, and Hot Mess Van Ness all together in a program, that just sounds like the recipe for amazing stuff.
Love it. Hot Mess Van Ness. That's brilliant.
So, yeah, that just and it's been funny at times. Like, they had a backstage, it wasn't backstage, but they had vignettes of them going out on a date. I think it was a blind date, and Grado dating her or whatever, and it was really entertaining. At least it was one of the better parts of that episode of Impact, in my opinion. And it's okay. It's been okay. It's weird to see where it's going to go now, according to what happened on the show. But, you know, I still love Van Ness. Like, the fact that she's this committed to this character, we're going off of what? She's had to be in this wedding dress for at least, like, the last 6 to 8 months. That's dedication.
And all that smeared makeup on her face can't be good for the pores.
Oh, no, not at all.
You know that, right? You know, I mean, I know you exfoliate your face and all that, you know.
Yeah, yeah, with the beard and all. Yeah, I got to do all that shit.
Of course, yeah, of course. After this, we get Eli Drake versus Eddie Edwards, or so we thought. Eli Drake comes out with Adonis, but Eddie Edwards' music plays and doesn't come out because Congo Kong is backstage murdering people, and it's not really explained why at the moment. Congo Kong is having an outrage, and we're just supposed to go with it. Also, he's beating up a guy named Richard Justice. Who is Richard Justice? Because this is a fat guy that was just backstage, and they were like, he's beating up Richard Justice, and I'm like, who the fuck is Richard Justice?
I don't even know. I feel like maybe this was something that I either have been fast-forwarding through or I just blocked out because it's horrible. I believe at one point of Impact, they had somebody backstage saying that they were waiting in case he needed to fill in. Maybe that's Dick Justice. I don't remember. I don't remember who this bastard is.
Well, thank you for the hard-hitting analysis. I just want to get, you know, this man, he's Richard Justice, and he seems like a superhero, and I want to get to know him, and I want to know why Congo Kong's going after him. But, you know, while Congo Kong is apparently, quote-unquote, destroying the backstage, not allowing for matches to continue, we get another match right after this. wherein, obviously, a table has been set up ringside, and all three judges have come to it. So people have walked from the backstage area onto the ring. Congo Kong, I guess, was just like, you know what? I respect the Grand Championship. I don't want to tamper with the Grand Championship. I don't want to tamper with the judges or anything like that. I'll let the Grand Championship be. Now, as for you, Dick Justice, I'm going to kick you into the ground. So, Congo Kong, big believer in the Billy Corgan gimmick match. So, anyway, we get a quote-unquote split decision. Not a split decision. Not a split decision, according to MMA rules. This is a majority decision. Because we had two ties, Scott D'Amore and Zeb Coulter both voted for it to be a draw, but that crooked bastard Bruce Pritchard scored the last round a 10-8 when the other two scored a 10-10, which whoever wrote that, just take it a little easier, you know, doing a 10-8 delivers zero nuance there. 10-8 is just like, he's just being an asshole. He could have said a 10-9, and it would have made sense. If two judges thought it was a tie, and somebody else doesn't think it's a tie, that's reasonable. but for him to say it's a 10-8, oh my God, please hit me harder over the head with this nail. But Jesus, I mean, this match was fine, and especially in the third round. But I'm over this gimmick, man, and it's I hope that this is the beginning of the end of it. I've spoken about how I've enjoyed it at certain points. They don't do it right ever. They always do, or they almost always do, the you win one round, and then we'll have a 5-minute actual wrestling match. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like one round, you dominate. And then for the last 5 minutes, we'll have a wrestling match. It doesn't need to be like that. You can have somebody win the first 2 rounds and somebody knock them out in the third. Something like a normal fucking MMA match to make it more interesting. But no, we have to rely on Bruce Pritchard giving a 10-8 after two judges give it 10-10. Which is something you'll never see in any 10-point must scoring system. So real fun thing we had going on here. And I've ranted about how much I've disliked it, but you tell me why you you know, enjoyed it or whatever.
I didn't. Well, I enjoyed the story.
So tell me how you enjoyed it. I didn't.
Like you said, this whole grand championship thing, me and you, we were excited about this when this was first announced. We talked about how Impact is always trying to do cutting edge and new stuff, and the execution of this division has just been terrible almost since the outset of it. I'm ready for this to go away. I almost would rather a more traditional TV title or something be brought up, because they're just not booking it right, and it screams of something that Corgan envision, and I wish that we can see what ultimately his vision was for this title. But since we're not going to get it, and clearly the new people who are in charge of creative don't really know what to do with it either, other than booking, like you said, split the first 2 rounds, and then the third round is when we get the wrestling. Like, let's just scrap this whole concept. Let's just get a normal mid-card title and just let them go out there and wrestle. I'm glad EC3 is the champion now. Hopefully they're doing that for the right reasons, to add some prestige to that. Well, not prestige, but to put it on somebody who's more important to the company overall. And Moose, this may be a hot take. Moose, since coming to TNA, has had a handful of really good matches, but I like Moose now less than I did when he was in ROH. I don't think that they're using him right. I don't think that they're putting him in matches to where he can really showcase his size and athleticism. And he just, I don't know, man. It's just something about Moose that I really feel like took a step down since being in GFW. Initially, when he came in, he had the thing with Lashley going on. It was promising. And ever since then, man, it's just, I don't know. I'm not as big of a Moose fan as what I was.
You know, I think it's just because he's become a one-note face in GFW. He hasn't, I mean, he came in as a pseudo-heel with Mike Bennett, but that was only just to get him over as a face. And he hasn't been an interesting character in the least. He's just, has he had any character development whatsoever outside of, I'm a football player, and now I'm a wrestler, and I'm here to kick your ass. Like, I need a little bit more than that, Moose.
Yeah. I can't do nothing but agree with you. I mean, you hit
it.
I
love it. Awesome. So we move on to a three-way. Get this three-way lineup. On one hand, we have Suicide, Grado, and Braxton Sutter. Great team. Versus KM, Mario Baccara, and Fala Ba. Mario Baccara comes out in what I believe was a Slovakian flag. Interesting choice. Tough to get heat gimmick. Tough to get, you know, foreign heel heat gimmick when I don't think most people even know what your flag means. And then you have Fala Ba, who is a less athletic version of Congo Kong. Fala Ba has an amazing moveset, which includes a sort of, like, a freight train, I think they called it on commentary, where he motions to the crowd that he's going to roll on somebody, and then he rolls on somebody, and it looks absolutely terrible. Most of this match, which was under 4 minutes, but you would have felt like it went on for 40 minutes. But yeah, this was not that great. There was some dancing going on, which is just always hilarious, you know, just wrestlers dancing in the ring. Just makes me laugh every single time. And Grado pinned fucking KM at the end. KM's got some legit heat with me, though. I think that guy looks like a douche. But anyway, that was our six-man tag.
This was the match of the people from underneath the stairs. The forgotten people. The people that you don't really, you forget is there until they just pop out on you. And yeah, no, this, no, I don't need this. I don't even want to talk about it. Josh, I'm done.
Braxton Sutter does a somersault. Is it a Sutter salt?
It should be.
It should be. Okay. All right. Thank you for the confirmation of that. Braxton Sutter leaving Grado for dead. Heel turn or no?
I hope so. Maybe they can finally get him to flash some type of personality. Like, I don't know. Braxton Sutter, he's had that thing with the Canelesis, and I don't know, man. I really don't know. I don't know what to say about anybody in this fucking match, and that's what's bad, is that I don't even know if any of these people are talented enough to be on TV. Like, Fala Ba, you suck. KM, okay, whatever. Mario, fuck you. Grado, I love Grado, but they need to do more with him. Braxton Sutter and Suicide. Braxton Sutter needs to commit suicide. Bye.
Interesting take. Who is Suicide right now?
I don't know. I don't know.
I'm hearing a lot of Caleb Conley.
Really?
That's just what people were saying on the the places that I frequent, you know, the hyper intelligent wrestling fandom fan base places. It that seems like sense. It's gonna be Braxton Sutter. Yeah, it makes sense. I do frequent the best places, you know. I get the best information, best analyst, best podcaster. So I have to have the best facts, obviously. I did have one thing that I forgot to mention. We did have a interview with Bruce Pritchard, who has a goatee and glasses, and he looks like a CEO of a tech company going through a midlife crisis.
Okay, Josh.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm just reading my notes. I have great notes. I take great notes. And I didn't want to miss any of my great insight. I saw that I skipped over that bullet point, and I was like, I got to go back. I got to let the people know.
Oh, and, you know, something we skipped on over, and I've been meaning to talk to you about this. This is kind of what led to let me talk to you coming back, is because I wanted to get your opinion on this. So early this year, we talked about why they rushed the Eddie Edwards versus Davey Richards thing. It's since come out now. David Richards is retiring from wrestling to focus on, I believe it's medical school. I believe that's what it is. So do you think that that's why it was rushed? Because they knew he was going to retire and they wanted to use that storyline.
Well, yeah. I mean, just look at his initials. It's DR. It's pretty obvious that he was going to become a doctor.
So. Dr. DR.
Dr. They knew doctor. That was coming. hey, you know, I wouldn't doubt it. It's weird that I don't know about that, though, because they gave him a neutron. They gave him and Angelina a whole new name of the natural born killers and everything. I think it was the fact that he's had a falling out with Angelina in his personal life that has led to, you know, GFW saying that, you know, him and Angelina need to work together according to storyline, and he doesn't want to do that. So I think that he's left for that reason.
Ah, okay. Now that makes sense.
Well, I mean, of course it makes sense. Came out of my mouth. I'm the best analyst in the business, so yeah.
Okay, Josh Matthews. What's Josh my podcaster with? That's the question.
I mean, I'm still offended that you just called me Josh Matthews. I'm just trying to grapple with that fact. We forgot to mention that. The whole reason I was saying that, you know, Sutter leaving Grado for dead. Is it a heel turn? Yeah, Grado came out Congo Kong. Got to back up again. Man, there's a lot of things that happen in quick succession on this show. It's very awkwardly timed. After the Grado match, Laurel Van Ness and Joseph Park come out. Then Congo Kong comes out. He kills Grado. Braxton Sutter leaves. Ali implores him to stay. Braxton Sutter leaves him for dead. Blah, blah, blah. It looks like Braxton Sutter's turning heel. Okay, we got that out of the way. If anybody cares, tweet me at VERLANDJ and let me know if I should have talked about that longer. Anyway, we have a new GFW Grand Champion. Are we going to say it's a GFW Grand Champion whenever it says Impact on the belt?
When are we getting new titles? Like, when we get new titles, I thought this would happen by now. Come on.
I thought it was the next series of tapings. That's what I thought. But I, what do I know? I haven't even watched anything. I don't know. Either way, no, I do know. I'm the best analyst in the business. So, yeah, it's going to be the next taping.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go, Josh. You know it all. All yeah, hail King Verlin.
I'm a walking dirt sheet.
I could take that a lot of ways, but okay.
I don't want to know the other ways that you can take it. So EC3's out with his new Grand Championship. He's gloating about his victory. He's got his jeans on, you know, which I thought meant that we were going to get a street fight, because I thought that was the rule. If you showed up with jeans on, you were going to get in a street fight. But no, he's just out there with jeans on, gloating about the championship, and then he just leaves. It was a weird segment. I mean, it was a fine segment because EC3 is a good heel, but it was just totally random. He just kind of came and he left, and then we moved on to our main event.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and move on to that main event.
A whole lot to talk about that EC3 seg. So our main event is LAX, which is... So for LAX, it's a six-man tag, so they chose Homicide, Santana, and Ortiz versus the family of Alberto Del Patron. Alberto Del Patron. I don't know. We'll look that up. We'll get to the bottom of that. It's Hijo de El Hijo. Spanish was tough for me, I'll tell you. El Hijo de Dos Caras and Dos Caras. So if you didn't get that, it's Patron, El Hijo de Dos Caras, and Dos Caras. I'm a professional broadcaster. It was those three against LAX, and this went on for a very long time, 17 minutes long, culminated with Low-Ki joining LAX in what I thought was a fucking dope reveal, and that was LAX printed on the back of his suit, a very cool move. Reminiscent to me of when Skrull had the Bullet Club put on top of his umbrella, you know, that kind of signature thing that they bring out to the ring. For Low-Ki, it's his suit. For Skrull, it's umbrella. Branding that formerly blank canvas with a affiliation with a stable, I think, is very effective, and it was so here. Excited to see what happens with Low-Ki. Moving along with LAX, LAX pinning the world champion in Alberto El Patron, Alberto Del Patron. We'll get to the bottom of that. But yeah, LAX pinning the champ of the world. Low-Ki, part of LAX. Lots to digest here. 17 minutes long. Go.
I mean, the match itself was great. I love the match. The reveal, though, was done so perfectly. I didn't expect it to be Low-Ki. Like, I just didn't. That didn't even cross my mind throughout the show when I'm thinking about who it could be. Low-Ki didn't cross my mind one single time. I love the fact also for his versatility. Low-Ki can be in that world title picture. He can be in. He's already been the X Division champion since he's come back, and he has that Hitman gimmick, which kind of not. It doesn't align perfectly with the whole gang type thing that LAX is going for, but it gets there. I just love. I couldn't have booked anything more perfect, really, in my opinion. And LAX, when they announced that they were coming back, when it was rumored that they were coming back, before I actually saw the show that they returned on, I'm like, okay, LAX, they're really reviving this old thing. This has been one of the best things on Impact week to week. And I'm loving Conan. I'm loving how they have their backstage, their vignettes and their videos and all coming from I guess whatever their gang house is or whatever it is. I love all this. I love everything that's being done with LAX. I love how El Patron's being involved in it. And now the fact that everything El Patron's going through in his personal life, we could possibly get Low-Ki winning these titles off Alberto El Patron. And that, my friend, I can get behind.
That'd be pretty fucking cool. It would be even cooler, in my opinion, actually, if Low-Ki still had the X Division belt. And now Low-Ki interfered with this match with the thing in mind of option C. I think it's still called that. If they still even have that with the X Division belt, you can cash it in for an opportunity at the World Championship. I think that would be a really good gimmick to have on him at this point, especially with him pinning the world's champion. Just seems to make sense. I don't know. You know, GFW, hire me. I don't know. Just spitballing out here. But yeah, that was, so LAX, I think that LAX, I mean, it's, looking like a NWO Bullet Club type of deal, you know, adding people as we go. But I think that that's very effective. And so far, they've kept the group really strong. And low-key, Penin, if he ends up becoming world champion, that would be pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah, I want that to happen. I love Low-key. And I don't know, it's just something, he's a much more interesting character in general than El Patron. And then you put him with Conan on top of that, and in this group, I mean, and we could possibly get that. We finally need to get Diamante involved in the Knockouts division. LAX can hold all the titles. Like, it's a possibility that they could hold all the titles, and I love that. Josh.
So that's that thought. Oh, cool. Sorry. Jesus, I gotta get better with that timing.
Go ahead.
So, ladies and gentlemen, that was the review of Impact. Ladies and gentlemen, I gotta get better with my pronunciation. Anyway, so yeah, that was Let Me Talk to You review, GFW, Impact, main event, LAX, building up, like Bullet Club, Grado might be deported, Desmond Xavier has a chain tattooed to his chest. There was a lot of crazy things that happened tonight, Hayes. What would you rate it?
6.5.
6.5. I think I like that rating, honestly, but I'm going to go lower. I'm going to go 5.5 just because I thought it was, like, if 5 is completely average, I'll go 5.5 just because I was, like, that 0.5 comes from me just laughing because I didn't know what was happening. So I was, like, that gets a little bit of boost just due to ignorance is bliss. But, yeah, a perfectly average show, which is not great, you know?
Yeah, not great at all, but you know what? It's still better than Raw.
Is it? I don't
know. Not this past week. Yeah, Raw's been pretty good. So I'm picking that at the wrong time. Yeah, Raw's been pretty good lately. So I'll take that back. I retract that statement. Fake news, people. Fake news.
Fake news. Stay woke.
Stay woke.
Hayes, where can they find you online, man?
You can find me at CEO Hayes. That's at CEOHAIZE.
Trust me, everybody, that is where the magic happens. At CEO Hayes, at CEOHAIZE. Also, at the WWPN on Twitter. Right? No, wait, that's thewwpn.com, WrestleWorldcast on Twitter.
No, we're the WWPN on Twitter now also.
Hey, look how far I've been gone. We just put Twitter handle on my ass.
Yeah, we're all synergized. It's the WWPN everywhere.
Can't even do a fucking promo anymore. You know, I got to get back on the gravy train. But yeah, the gravy train is a roll. Let Me Talk to You is back in session every Thursday. Or excuse me, every Friday. We're recording this every Thursday night, but uploaded every Friday on the Wrestling World Podcast Network. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us, as always. Hayes, do you have any parting words of wisdom before we let him go?
Stay woke. That's it. Stay woke.
Stay woke, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Hayes and the rest of the... And on behalf of Hayes and the rest of the Wrestling World Podcast Network, we're going to talk like a robot, just so I enunciate. This has been Josh Perry on this train wreck of an edition of Let Me Talk to You. I hope you enjoy next week. The gravy train, it's a rolling, and we don't know how set the tracks are. It's just like the MTA. Enjoy, ladies and gentlemen.
Out.